It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Bricker.
And I'm Gene Purcell, in for Rob Ferret on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll find out why hookah use is on the rise among high school students and whether or not that is cause for concern.
First, yesterday a federal judge cleared the way for a settlement between the National Football League and more than 4,500 retired NFL players over concussion-related claims.
Now, this preliminary settlement comes after months of legal wrangling by both sides, and it would provide compensation for players who are dealing with brain-related injuries or injuries that could develop later in life. The new settlement marks the first legal change in how the NFL addresses its ailing retirees, some of whom have been very critical about how the league has treated them after their playing days.
Here with us now to talk about the proposed settlement and what's next for the two sides is Ken Belson, sports reporter at the New York Times. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's start with this proposed settlement. What did this judge decide?
Well, the proposed settlement was technically proposed almost a year ago, and the original proposal had a cap on monetary awards of $675 million. The judge in January said that she thought that might not be enough to cover the 65-year length of the settlement, so she left it at that, and they came back with a new proposed settlement, which she has since approved, which includes no cap on damages. That's the headline number, so to speak.
So this includes damages. What else is perhaps going to be included in this package deal?
The players will also get something called baseline testing, covers, how can I say, preliminary tests that they can then use to compare if the players deteriorate. So they'll know their cognitive state when they're 35, and they'll be able to compare that to something when, say, they develop mild dementia or more serious dementia.
And let's get a little background on this. Can we talk about how this case got started and how we got to today?
It's somewhat unusual in class action terms. It started out as a set of small one-off lawsuits filed around the country in state and federal court by players and different sets of lawyers. And for ease of administration, they were put under something called multi-district litigation, or MDL, and consolidated in Philadelphia in federal court. And the first big test was last April, when the league essentially had the judge had a hearing where the league argued that all of these cases should be thrown out because they should be covered under the labor laws governing the NFL and the labor agreements with the union. The judge never ruled on that, which is a key threshold in a lot of these kind of sports labor cases, because the two sides decided to settle instead. And the lawyers for the players argue that that actually is a good thing because they might actually lose the first argument about whether it should be covered under labor law and might get zero. So at least by settling, they get something rather than potentially nothing. That was back, the arguments were in April, and then we led to the settlement, which was first announced in August last year.
So the cap on the damages has been removed. Is there any sort of ballpark figure about what kind of money we're looking at here from the NFL?
Well, the NFL basically says that they believe that their actuaries and economists tell them that the first number, the $675 million, is still essentially accurate, but they want to relieve any anxiety about whether the number will be accurate, and therefore they remove the cap. So they don't think the number is going to be a lot more than what they've already published. There are many others who say it's not so much the dollar figure, it's the terms of qualifying for the dollars. So in other words, what kind of illnesses do you need to get or have to get any money? And some players argue that they've only included a narrow set of categories, for example, Parkinson's disease, ALS, severe dementia. And, of course, football players get many other kinds of issues that are outside of those broad categories. And so, yes, there's $675 million set aside, but they're saying it's not going to cover the mass number of players and their injuries.
Now, this is being hailed as a landmark deal. How significant is it when it comes to the culpability of the NFL when it comes to concussions?
Well, as part of the settlement, the NFL admits no fault, so we'll never know, at least in this context, what they knew about concussions and what they did or didn't share with the retired players over the last 20-some-odd years. So we're not going to get any more insight into that. And then players who sign on to the settlement, assuming it's approved, it'll be majority of retired players, give up their rights to sue the NFL on this issue in the future. So, and this is not uncommon in a lot of class action cases. It sort of gives the league immunity from future cases. It's a landmark case insofar as the NFL has put up a ton of money potentially to pay for medical costs, but it's probably not going to shed a heck of a lot more light on what they knew and when.
Does this, though, signal that going forward the NFL is going to have to be a lot more careful about its policies regarding concussions?
Yes, and I think they probably already have been. But the bulk of the accusations stem from the 90s. And I think really the turning point from the NFL's perspective, to answer your question specifically, came sort of in 2009 when Roger Goodell, the commissioner, was asked to testify in front of Congress about concussions. I think that was their real big wake-up call. And you could argue that everything they've done since then, putting sideline extra neurologists on the sideline, having an extra set of eyes in the press box, identifying players who may have been concussed during a game, leaving the game protocol and coming back to play that protocol. All those things, I think, have come since 2009 and helped mitigate some of these problems. I don't know whether the injury figures fully tell the story, but I think the league has certainly been chastened by being hauled in front of Congress and, frankly, all of these lawsuits. I mean, it's a very damaging sight when your retirees are suing the league, not for some intellectual property argument or please share some money from video games with me, but basically accusing the league of neglecting them. And that could be a very damaging thing if this had gone to court or gone to trial.
What kind of reaction is this getting from the players who are involved?
It's a good question. You've got a universe of 20,000 players. Obviously, you've got 20,000 opinions. And I think in large part, and this is based mostly just on my anecdotal conversations with various retirees, is it breaks down partly generationally. I think older players see the league now as a very wealthy league, and they see their own role in that as diminished. In other words, they'll say, well, you know, when I played, I only had $2,000 a year pension benefit. Or I made $15,000 a year and I was happy to get it. And now they see players with multi-million dollar contracts. And whether it's out of jealousy or spite, I think they see the younger generation of players as getting off easy. And as a consequence, I think some of these older players are quite angry at the NFL. But really, it boils down to where they are health-wise. And I think anybody with serious injuries now is probably more willing to take the money now because they could use the money now, whereas a player who may be reasonably healthy and doesn't necessarily foresee themselves getting dementia may want to hold out for more in the future.
This isn't quite a done deal yet, but do you expect this to go through?
Good question. This is an approval of a preliminary settlement. The packets will be sent out to roughly 20,000 players. My sense is it will be approved by the players. The reason for that is somewhat technical in that in class action suits like this, the players don't literally have to vote yes. If they do nothing, they will be deemed to be in agreement with the settlement. And so there's a fairly high bar to get enough votes against the settlement to persuade the judge to not approve it. And so for that reason, I think it'll probably get approved. And I think also when the papers are in front of people and they finally see the numbers and they see that this is most of the way to the finish line, they may just say, you know what the heck, I'm just going to sign on. The other serious word of caution, which I'm sure any good lawyer will discuss with their client, is if you're going to opt out and preserve your legal rights to sue the NFL, what's that going to cost? There's no guarantee you'll get a penny. You're going to be taking on the NFL by yourself, and that could be a very expensive proposition. So for that reason, too, I think a lot of players are going to say, you know what, throw up their arms and let me just take what I could get.
Ken, thank you so much for being here today.
Sure, my pleasure.
We've been talking to Ken Belson, sports reporter at The New York Times.